I don't want to keep you too long because I want to hang out for dessert, but are you awake enough if I just share a few thoughts with you? I want to talk about something today that has really changed my life when it comes to prospering an organization and to handling wealth, handling power, handling authority, getting results, getting breakthroughs. And I could talk to you about skills, and we will. There's a lot of skills that we all need to learn and grow. How do I get going? I want to go in a certain vein, but let me just preface it by saying this. Springs isn't just a church like you would look at a church. When you take a look at what's gone on here, we've been able to take a church that was just about bankrupt in 1994, and today it's a multi-million dollar organization touching the world for Jesus. The school, I think when I came in 1994, the year that we started, there was 60 people and really hurting. And today we've got hundreds, I think somewhere between 500 or 600 that go to school there. And we own another campus, 80,000 or more square feet over on Yuville Street. And that thing is a multi-million dollar organization. Then along comes a Miracle Channel. Pretty much bankrupt. In fact, they're about to close the doors. And we were able to go in there and to see this thing turn around. And today it's not only a multi-million dollar organization, but this thing has ramped up past anything they ever dreamed possible at getting around the world with the programs, etc. And so I've been involved in places that require a lot of business expertise, a lot of rallying people, getting a culture, getting new systems and structures. And there's one thing that I've had to learn that I'm going to just talk to you about, and it's a little esoteric, so it won't be a 1-2. Don't have to take notes as much as maybe just listen and let God touch you with this. In Christianity, there is a monumental gap between your true identity and your believed identity. Your believed identity. Okay, and everyone's got one. Nobody is completely, purely, truly anchored in a complete Christ identity. In fact, the only struggle that you're going to have for the rest of your life, it's where the struggle comes in our Christian lives, is the contradiction between your true identity and your believed identity. The Bible is where your true identity is, but your believed identity is what you've been taught by parents, family, the culture, your experiences, your failures, your hurts, what you've never been able to break past has become your identity. And it's the source of the greatest struggle in every believer's life. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues." Do you have any issues in your life? It'll come from your heart. "Well, no, it's not my issue." Yeah, yeah. When you call it not your issue, you lose power. When you call it your issue, you can change it. Another word is springs, or the boundaries of your life come from your heart. When it comes to prosperity, taking a business to a new level, breaking through to a new area, it's not enough to have the skills. It's not enough to have an ability to know, to have knowledge of the systems, to have knowledge of how to raise up people, to put teams, to put a culture together, to bring about change to an organization. All of these difficult tasks take skill. And those skills can be taught, and it's something we're going to go into in 2014. But the first most important thing that the world doesn't quite understand, but they're getting it sometimes better than the church, is as you think in your heart, that is how you are. As you think in your heart, that's where you live. So I'm going to use an analogy. I need two chairs up here. Can we disconnect two chairs? Just pop them up here. Thank you. This one here, and there's one. Thanks, Mike. All right. So if I put this chair here, thank you, and I take this chair here. Now, your heart is where your true self-esteem is. Not just your self-esteem, but your sense of self. Who are you? Is determined in the area called the heart. And any time that you move outside of your sense of self, you will feel very uncomfortable. So uncomfortable that it's almost impossible to maintain in your mental status, physical. You'll get sick. It'll cost you your marriage because you will go comfortably within this area. This area is how it's your believed identity. Now, let's say that's moving onwards, that's moving backwards. If I ever prosper outside of my sense of self, and now I'm making more than I feel comfortable with, condemnation is immediately going to appear. And you're going to wonder, because you know this is not comfort. This is not where you should be. This, I don't deserve this. I don't know how I ever got here. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're waiting for God to equalize it if you don't know the word real well. You're waiting for something to get you back into your comfort area of yourself. This is where your sense of self is. So the only way for you, if you get a break in business and you actually are making more money, you're handling more staff, you're handling more companies, then your sense of self will allow you to. You will be so stressed. You're massively stressed. And your body will begin to shut down. Your relationships will begin to get very stressed because you are outside of your sense of self, which is established by your heart. According to Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Your identity. Now, what's going to happen is you will lose this somehow. You will lose something that's going to cause you to begin to drift back to where, now I feel this is about the kind of money, this is about the amount of staff I can handle, this is about where I can handle it. And you'll always stay there. So the key is to keep doing this with your heart. And if you do this with your heart, you'll always feel comfortable here first. And any new ground that you take, you're relaxed. You're at peace with. One of the things people talk to me about is, how are you so peaceful with all the organizations that you've got to run, plus this and that, and all the attack and all the junk? And I just go, and this is the secret. This is it right here. Because anytime I've moved outside of my sense of self and tried to take on more, but I don't feel like I can handle it, you'll always lose it and you'll go back. Or you won't handle the stress that you feel being right here. Now, if you go the other way, let's pick on sickness. You can pick on anything. Let's say that my income goes below what I'm comfortable at having. So now I'm wah-wah, and I'm down here making less. Now I'm uncomfortable too, because I know I can do this. But if something has pushed at me, if the times have changed, if the business has changed, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give in. Because I'm too stressed to stay here. So I want to feel comfortable. So I'm going to make myself feel comfortable by moving my heart down like this. I'm going to go, hey, it's okay. Learn to whatever state to be content. We'll misuse verses. And this is the new reality. You know, times have changed. Just glad that I'm not bankrupt. Here I am. And you can literally move your heart in the other direction and put up with less and less. If it's your health, this is a comfortable area for your health. You know, you're not completely healthy, but you're not totally sick either. If you get sick, and it's so uncomfortable, it's so stressful, it puts such pressure on your marriage, it puts pressure on everything in your world, you have to make a choice. You either have to use the presence of God, which comes through your heart, and get back into health and healing, or so you don't freak out and have a nervous breakdown, and you can't. You've got to accept. This is who I am. Who am I? I'm a person who'll never do this. Does that make sense? Your heart is only up to you. And so all of us have an area of our lives that we need to work on. Let's pick on your marriage. There are people who can have a marriage that feels pretty good in here. And if they've married somebody and it's going better than they think they're worth, they will short-circuit their marriage and go back and marry. This is not in every case, so if you're in a second marriage, I'm not talking about you. They would prefer somebody who's more abusive because that's the norm for their self-worth. I've counseled with many people who have married the most amazing person, but they're being smothered. They don't know how to interpret it, but they can't handle this person. They're just too loving, too touchy, doing everything for me. And I've seen them marry a complete jerk, but they're more comfortable there. Somehow in their sense of self, this is how self's been established as love. They're being beaten. It's arguing and fighting all the time, whereas the last marriage wasn't. But this is what they know. This is what their sense of self is. And they know they don't deserve that guy. They move down. I could literally pick on every area of a person's life. And if you do not do the heart work first, success or failure will bring such stress in your life that you will short-circuit it. That studies have shown that at people's greatest opportunities in life for their business is when they often will short-circuit that company or something. They'll do something foolish, they'll make a bad, or something will break down somewhere because they are out of, they have opportunities that are out here. And as they get out here and as they look for a new opportunity, Christians would go, I just don't feel good about it. What don't you feel good about? Well, you know, I just don't. Now, be careful. If it is God saying, don't take this next opportunity, you'll know it in your spirit. But also, if your self-worth has never been dealt with, your sense of self, it will tell you the same thing. And most people cannot differentiate between, is it a sense of self talking to me? So that I'm just, literally, it's a fear, it's an anxiety that I don't want to take on more of that company. I don't want to take on a new position in the company. I don't know how. Nobody knows how to go to the next level. Everyone has to be taught and learn and grow. But you've got to get your heart out there. Because then as you step into it, even though you've got butterflies, and there's then as you walk into this new endeavor, as you rise in a financial way to a new place, then your heart has been established first. All through the Bible, it talks about an established heart. All right. Is this okay? Am I okay? Now, if you think about leaders in the Old Testament, Jesus or God always looked at their heart first. Now, I'm going to mess with you. When he went to pick a king for Israel, one of David's brothers was an amazing warrior, fighting man. God said, no. He went through all of David's brothers. Nope. Went out and got a shepherd boy, brought him in and said yes. And then Samuel, we hear that famous verse says, God looks at the heart. What does that mean when we say God looks at the heart? Well, I was raised to think that God looks at his morals. And believe me, he does. But if that was the case, there was probably lots of great moral living people he could have picked. It's more. That's too low of a bar that he just lives good. No, there was something else about David's heart that made God attracted to him to make him king. And it had to do with courage. It had to do with the heart. See, his brothers, although they had lots of skills, see, you can have as many skills as you want within your sense of self. Have you ever met a person who's got more degrees than you, and when you talk with them, there's no sense of self, and they don't know how to handle themselves, and when they're in public, and they don't feel smart, and it's their sense of self, they got degrees up the gazebo, but no sense of self, okay? So, I got my brain back where it's talking. So he had brothers who were maybe trained phenomenally well, but when you are in leadership, if a crisis takes you to a place where you're stressed and you can't handle it, then you're outside. You don't want to just put up with it and say, this is the new norm. You want to do what it takes because your heart will always, your heart is continually from the inside, the forces of life, the issues of life, and this is the boundaries of your life. Your heart will continue to connect wherever this is. Your heart will always put you in that gap. So when you begin to get too low, it's almost your miracles will always get you back up to where your heart has a good sense of self. Now, the problem with that is if your sense of self is way down here and you're poor, lousy marriage, unhappy, unhealthy, and you got a long ways you want to go, you can learn all the skills you want. You can read all the books. And you can modify your behavior. You can dress differently. So you modify your behavior and you act, dress, and look like a VP. And you take over the desk or the corner office and you've got to look after all these people. And you're here. But the stress level of maintaining this, even with the skills, is huge because you're outside of your heart zone. Now here's the problem. Your heart is going to continue to drag you back to this. Remember, your heart is always trying to take you to what your sense of self is. So as I succeed believing God and thanking Him for the job, I'm now rising up the ladder and I am so stressed. I'm on my last nerve and my marriage and my kids and my home. But I'm blessed, God. I'm gonna learn the skills. So I'm modifying my behavior. I'm learning more sales. I'm learning more management. But listen to me. Modified behavior only works as long as willpower stays strong. When willpower gives out, all of your modified behavior, you're gonna go screaming and kicking and drug back to what your sense of self really is. Well, why would God do that to you? He's not. Your heart, according to Mark 4, grows weeds and seeds. Your heart grows thistles and your heart grows seed. So what I'm simply saying is your heart continually releases a force and a boundary that keeps you here. And so when you work on the outside of your organization, your sales, your family, your marriage, your sex life, you can say, we have a lousy sex life. And, you know, we read a few books, we modified our behavior, we learned a few tricks, whatever you want to call them. And we're getting out here. But yet it's still no good. It just doesn't feel right. And you're trying to modify behavior, but there's not a sense of belief of self. Who are we? We're a great couple. We're happily married, and sex is beautiful, and the bed undefiled. I could pick on every area of your life, and if you have not done the heart work for it, then your heart, which is yours, it will always drag you back to your sense of self. Now, I'll show it to you in the Word. David, what was it that attracted God to David? Well, first of all, as a teenager, a lion attacked his sheep. And rather than run, he killed a lion. Killed him, a teenage boy. Then a bear came, and he killed the bear. Now, what he's doing with worshiping God and getting to know God, and his heart is growing. He said, my God has helped me kill a bear, and by my God I have slain a lion, and I'm going to take out that ungodly Philistine. He was speaking from his heart. From the abundance of the heart is where the mouth speaks with power. So even though his position was still sheep herder, his heart was conqueror. His heart was not coward. It was way up there. So now his position might have been down here, but God saw his heart. What I'm saying is, well, God didn't just see he was a nice guy. God saw, if I'm going to put a king over my people who will fight the Philistines and kill them by the thousands, which was needed back then, and be loyal and stand strong for these people and not be bribed, this is the man, because he sees himself as a conqueror and overcomer. If he'd have put some guy in there, like when Saul went in there, Saul didn't work out. If he'd have put some guy in there who was a wonderful guy, but as soon as pressure came from other armies or things begin to push at him, he begins to fold on the inside, or he has to go to war, but his comfort zone and his sense of self is just sitting in the palace and just releasing a few orders. Now I got to go into battle. I got to train up an army. He wouldn't have made it. David, he looked at his heart. What was he looking at? He was looking at his capacity. He was looking at what he believed about himself. And David believed about himself that he was a lion killer, a bear killer, and a giant takeouter. Okay? Bad English, good point. Let's go to Gideon. Gideon had a call in his life to lead God's people, but he was a completely low self-worth guy. Now, an angel appears to him and says, Gideon, mighty man of valor. Now, why did an angel appear to him? Because when an angel or a dream comes from God, it speaks directly to your heart. So Gideon's heart okay, is like this, way down here. and an angel appears to him. Says, Gideon. Or if an angel came into this room and picked you out in front of the whole crowd and stood at 9 feet tall, white splendor, I mean, sword in their hand, and just spoke to you and said, Fred, you are called to be a billionaire and to finance the gospel of Jesus across this planet. Those words would penetrate past your mind and they would hit your heart. And this sense of self would literally, boom, literally in one moment, an angel. It's an angel that talked to you. Look at how many times God intervened and had a miraculous push at their heart. Gideon, you mighty man of valor, and God raised up Gideon and changed the world. Look at Moses. Moses needed God trained to take on the greatest country in the world. Where did he put him for 40 years? In Egypt. And it says in Acts 7:22, Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. Now, was Moses like that when he went to see Pharaoh? No. For the first 40 years, he was mighty in action. He was a warring guy, taught to fight, lead 600,000 troops in the desert, and he was mighty in speech. But if you go back to Genesis, where God speaks to him in the burning bush, which now he's 80, he goes, well, I'm weak of speech. He's arguing with God the whole time. He's arguing with a burning bush, going, I can't do that. It can't be me. Can you find somebody else? And finally God goes, fine, we'll get Aaron, your brother. But that wasn't God's best. And so he had to have a burning bush. He spoke with, now Moses turned around because nobody had contact with God on the Bible like Moses did. I mean, on mountains and burning pillars of fire and clouds that appeared to him. In order for God to affect the heart of the leaders in the Old Testament, there were things that took place that spoke to them that changed the heart. It's how they saw themselves. How you see yourself is absolutely critical to your future. Now, we could pick on a lot of leaders in the Bible, and you'd find God taking them, whether it was basically even the disciples, every one of them. And he often would rename them. He looked at Peter, whose name was Simon, and he said, you are Peter, a rock. And when Jesus speaks that to him, it impacts the heart. Now, I wish an angel would speak to me. We actually have something better. We have Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And when the Word of God and Holy Spirit speak to your heart, then something takes place. And you need to believe, especially if you come from a religious background that knocks money. Because today we're talking to the kingdom builders, and that's what this is about, taking businesses. It's about financing the kingdom of God. And we could talk about a lot of topics. But if you really want to take your business, your company, to the next level, we need to teach you the skills, the structures, how to hire staff, how to put a culture into your business, how to put a leadership culture in, how to put a growing culture in, how to check up, how to delegate properly, how to confront properly, how to make sure that this company, this organization, whatever you're running, we need those skills, and those can be taught. But it'll just be modified behavior if you and only you can deal with this. And the heart is different. You can't force the heart. Force doesn't work on the heart. Only meditation and joy and peace work on the heart. And that's where, and we've taught on this on the series The Heart. And if you weren't here, there's a USB at church tomorrow just called The Heart, where I teach the dynamics of how to change the heart. The language of the heart is dreams and visions, not information. Now, this is why, I gotta close up. This is why people with no education at all will go out, and it's a high percentage of them, they will become multimillionaires. Because if you've got a heart this believing, this broad, you can hire anything you need. You might not have the skills yourself, but if you believe it, all right, I'll give you a couple more points and I won't keep you real long. When your heart believes something, okay? I'm going to move this boundary too, because I don't like the boundary being I can get sick or healed, I can be poor or well. I want this boundary, the low-end boundary, coming up as well. All right, so when we're out here, If my heart will be creative, and my heart will attract all the staff and the people that I need to function in this area. I'm reading some, well, I will do that. So, it'll be creative in this area. But if you need something out there, there's a veil that lies over your heart. Have you heard that teaching in the New Testament? That there's a veil that lies on the heart. That a revelation has to peel that veil off. That veil is your belief system. That veil is your sense of identity. So my veil is right here. If I'm going to go to a place I've never been, I must believe it first and see myself as that. I am this. I'm not that. But if we're made in the likeness and the image of God, when you ask God who He is, He says, I am. Present tense. We are made in the likeness and the image of God. Wherever you want to go, you have to be before you go there. I am that. That's why the Bible is the most unique prosperity success book on the planet. Because it does the heart work. Like an angel appearing and talking to you. Like Jesus appearing and talking to somebody. When the Word of God comes alive in you through confession and the Holy Spirit penetrates your heart with it, then this sense of self begins to expand. And if now, all of a sudden, my heart is going there first. Where? I work for somebody, but I'm an owner. And I've got ideas, and I know I can run this company, and I believe I can, and God's going to provide for me. And you're developing, but your heart is expanding there, even if you're not there yet. Let's say that your heart is taking off so well, but you're still here. There is no way on God's green planet that that heart is not going to yank you up into who you are. That's what everything I've just described today is what the Bible calls faith. It's either mental assent, which so many people fall into that trap, or it's faith. This practice of going into the Word of God, I'll give you a couple hints to study on your own. When you study the Old Testament, it'll talk about a deceitful heart in the book of Proverbs. The word deceitful is the same word as crooked. The word righteous is actually the similar root of straight. God wants you to have a straight heart, not a crooked heart. It literally means the beliefs of your heart have to be straight. What does God think of you? Does God think you're a loser or a winner? Does God think you are sick or healed? Does God see you as poor or prosperous? Does God see you as prosperous or extremely prosperous? Wherever you are today is a result, okay, of our heart. Now, don't take that as a negative, because all of us here have had losses. All of us are experiencing things that we're not succeeding. Don't get guilty. Don't let the enemy condemn you. All I'm saying is that the key to your future is your heart. The heart is that part of you that Holy Spirit needs to come from your spirit through your heart and bring revelation to your mind. So all of our hearts are crooked in some area where we're not seeing results. And if you're not getting the results you need, yes, work on the skills. What I do personally, is in the morning, I usually get up about 6, sometimes earlier, and I just sit on the couch with the Word of God or a teaching book, and I will sit there, and what I do is I try to put my heart there. So the language of the heart is dreams and visions. Now, most of you know, when it comes to systems and structures and ability and et cetera, I'm blown away about a book a day, just learning everything I can about all that. But a book won't change my heart. That's information. With information, I can change things, but if my heart doesn't change with me, then the effort's too huge. So I literally sit down and I work at, who am I? I am the pastor of a church that's touching the whole nation. No, Leon, you're just a pastor of a church in Winnipeg. No, I'm a pastor of a church that is winning the nation. Well, no, Leon, you're not. And all the things will speak at me, and the money's not coming in will shout at me, and the people who are accusing and attacking me will try to stop me. But who I am is a pastor of a phenomenal motley crew who are touching the nation. That's who I am. And I am doing the heart work to get there. And when the heart work is done, there's a lot of different studies that are being done on the physical heart. And did you know that when your heart beats, they say that it is giving instruction to every cell in your body, that your heart isn't just a pump, that it actually is telling the rest of your body to be strong, to be weak, depending on what your beliefs are. So the enemy, when he attacks you, wants you to move your heart down to where you are and accept it. But if you don't, then it's almost like the heart we know isn't a physical thing, but somehow it's attached to this heart. They actually say that the heart that beats in your body, boom, 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 that is going to every cell, and it is, it's giving it a, my brain is stalling out, but it's saying something to it as to what it should do, that it actually radiates outside your body. And they have no understanding of how far. So what you believe and your sense of self, it tells people how to treat you. It'll tell people to respect you, or your sense of self that radiates off of you will tell people to back away from you. It'll make them want to buy from you, or it'll make them not want to. It will attract losers to you. It'll attract rip-off artists to you, or it'll attract amazingly great people. Science is catching up to the Bible. And so in this message today, all I want to do is give you some excitement in this area. If you say, there's nothing I can do, then you're helpless. But if you believe that whatever is going on, I can change by changing my heart. To move a physical mountain requires a huge amount of energy. If you're looking at a mountain that's, you know, how many thousands of feet high, and you're going to move that mountain physically, that's going to be a ton of work. But as you study the Word, you begin to recognize that if you begin to move the mountain in your heart first, and you see yourself as a mountain mover, and you begin to believe that, all that is needed begins to be attracted to you. The forces, everything begins to rise up out of you, come attracted towards you, and amazing things begin to happen. The teaching on the heart is hard to give people formulas because the heart can't be formulized like the mind. Let me give you 7 steps on this and 6 steps on that and 3 steps on that. The mind does all that. The heart doesn't. The heart has this beautiful visionary sense of self that it just takes meditation. It takes a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, Holy Spirit's job is to take you there and beyond. Holy Spirit's job is to show you things to come. Holy Spirit's job is to show you things you don't know. And we all think it's new doctrines we haven't figured out yet. No, it's actually to show you in your heart where you're going, the call on your life, and to help you believe you can do that. That's what Holy Spirit's job. It's on the inside that He's guiding you into all truth. So don't allow wherever you are right now, don't stay there. There's no joy in staying where you are. Now, you might be saying, well, Leon, to tell you the truth, I've tried. This is where I'm very successful right here. But I've tried doing this, and it's uncomfortable, and it's crazy. I understand that. All I'm saying is you went out there to try to do it before your heart went there. Do the heart work first. Meditate. Get a hold of God's Word. Ask Holy Spirit to help you be seen, help you see and sense yourself at a place. And remember this, it doesn't matter how much, God has yet to find somebody. Since Adam, nobody has shocked God with big thinking. Hello. Nobody has shocked him. The billionaires haven't shocked him. Okay? Winston Churchill didn't shock him. We can have world leaders far beyond him, money coming in far beyond that, influence far and greater. God's not intimidated by thinking and getting your heart to a bigger place. So it's just our upbringing that makes us feel like, well, I hope I could just get 5% up in the next couple of years, and that'll be great. Well, if that's what you're going to believe and go for, that's where it's going to stay. You can change the heart. Now, I didn't focus on how to change the heart other than quickly because I've done that on the other series that I've talked to you guys about. I wanted to show you the importance of your heart. The importance of your heart and what you believe about yourself before you believe about where self is going. What do you believe about yourself? What most of us believe about ourselves is where we are. That's actually what Matthew 12 says, is that where you are right now in each area of your life is how life has pushed at us, cornered us, shut us down. The boundaries, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the boundaries of our lives. These boundaries can be changed. Your parenting, your upbringing, religious thinking, all of us have something that we're working on. But I'm going to challenge you. Don't let the enemy condemn you. So, Leon, are you saying that I've been poor my whole life and it's all? Don't go to whose fault. See this as an excitement that says, I'm not condemned. That guy was made rich, I'm made poor. This guy gets to be healthy, I have to be poor. This guy gets a great marriage. I mean, look at their marriage and look at the one I got. No such thing. In fact, in many marriages, because your beliefs radiate into your family, your beliefs and your sense of self affect your whole family, they affect your marriage, they affect the peace of your home, they affect it, your beliefs of self. And so we want to make sure that that's an area that you just begin to enjoy God. Just enjoy Him. Just begin to get on the bottom and just begin to dream again. That's why God likes dreamers. Begin to dream again where every area of your life could be. See yourself there. See yourself laughing. You know, for 3 years, I told a couple of you this. For 3 years, I believed that we'd have buildings in Calgary. And so we are going into our sixth year. And Sally says to me, Leon? I said, what? She is so cool. She goes, I don't want to be in the university for another year. I said, well, neither do I. Well, we're believing for buildings. I said, I am too. Well, then let's get the buildings. Said, yeah, okay. So the next morning, I'm sitting there with my meditation time, and God begins to speak to me. He says, you're doing a lot of dreaming about other things, but you've never done any heart work on buildings in Calgary. I went, shoot. So I thought, well, what kind of buildings should I believe for? I don't know. Like, I want property, but I don't want property. That's going to be like 6 years before we get on that. I need something right now, so I need a building. What would it look like? And I'm trying to be very certain. I thought, okay. So I said, Lord, I don't know. So I just began to pray and say, thank you, Father, for buildings. And your heart will connect to a vision or an image. I don't mean that God will give you one. I mean your heart will connect to one. So the only thing I could connect to was this. I saw myself jumping up and down going, we've got a campus, we've got a campus, praise the Lord. Every time I'd go to prayer about this thing, okay, I'd say, Father, I want to thank you for the campus that we have in Calgary. I want to thank you for the buildings. Father, I want to thank you right now that you're allowed to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. Each morning, okay, I would just get on that, and I would take that specific prayer on, and I would prepare my heart for the answer to that specific prayer. And I would see that clearer and clearer. I started that in November of last year. In December, I said to Sally, in 2013, because I'm now a year back, I said, we will be in a building before the end of the year. She knows how to push me. She goes, oh, okay, well, we'll see. She believes more than I do. She was ticked at me. She goes, I've been believing the whole time. You're telling me you haven't been believing? So I would do that all through November, December. In about a month and a half, I said to her, you watch. Now, why I said that wasn't because those words force God to do it. That's a mistake. It was because I began to feel and know. On this issue, I was there. And I began to tell the team, 2013, we're going to be in a building before then. You watch, 2013 is going to take place. And bam, December 1. Was it December 1? Our first service, just lucky for me, 2013, had one more month before we got in that building. That's all I mean by doing the heart work. I didn't find 43 new verses that had the word church in them and write them all over the fridge. I sat quietly on my couch, and I closed my eyes on this one issue. And I already know all the verses. And I just said, Holy Spirit, I need to see it. I need to feel it. I need to experience it. And as I see myself laughing and talking, we got a camp. That's all I did each morning was ask Holy Spirit to help me see the answer in here till what I saw in here was more real out there. Now, what does your heart do? Your heart continually is trying to get you to where your sense of self was. And my sense of self was, I am pastoring from a campus in Calgary. God's providing. And so even if I'm not, even if that's not what I've got, at the time, your heart, which Holy Spirit flows through, begins to reach out. And it begins to attract what is, and the people we needed came into our world. The things that began to happen were even outside of my control. This person met this person, told this person about that person who met this person. And all of a sudden, ting, 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 dots started getting connected. Bam, 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 bam. Here's a campus. There's no way I could have worked that one out or even prayed for that. That this guy would meet this guy, who'd meet a land of up, who'd meet this guy, who'd meet the guy from the United Church who's selling it. There's just no way to make that happen. But your heart will connect those dots because Holy Spirit is flowing through our beliefs. Jesus said, all things are possible for the Holy Spirit. No, he didn't. All things are possible to them who believe. Father, I just pray that I didn't cause any confusion today, but that, Father, I real sense in their jobs, in their careers, Father, of going to that next place in their heart first will be upon every one of them. I ask this in your mighty name, and I speak blessings over them. I command every mouth that rises against them, put down. I command every attack of the enemy that comes against them one way to flee before them seven ways. I declare that any assignment of the evil one against their business, their career, I command it to stop. And Father, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and of revelation of the knowledge of you upon them. The eyes of their understanding opened as to who they are and the love of God that is in them. And Father, let 2014 be a year of such great heart growth and so quickly that they'll see breakthroughs in areas they haven't seen for years or even a lifetime. I stand with them in faith. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Well, we're going to go have dessert. My last couple comments is we're at the beginning of the year. And so I want to encourage you. These, where are these? With, are they in the other room? They're in the table in the other room. In the table in the other room is our 2014 Kingdom Builders pledges. And so I want to encourage you, take one, pray about it, fill it out. Believe in faith. Be a part of Kingdom Builders in 2014. And 2014, I've been talking to different people. I want to ramp some things up. We're going to begin to meet about business stuff. And also, I haven't got it all fleshed out yet, but we're going to be going, not the church. I feel a call to also go to the secular business world. I believe that we've been trying to get at pastors across this nation, and they come out maybe 100 at a time. But I really believe that what we have learned, what's gone on here in these three organizations that have helped them to grow, and by the way, churches and Christian organizations are harder to grow than business ones, not easier. And I believe there's some things that we can do to help people in the business community succeed. Not preach at them, nothing about Bible, nothing about church, not even coming to them from Spring Church or from Kingdom Builders. Just I'm going to go into the business world here, and we're going to do some teachings and stuff and help rally them, and we'll get back with more information, and I believe it's going to become one of the greatest movements of reaching the business world for Christ as they find things that work. If you can help me build my business and not be so stressed because I got no time for my wife and my kids just hanging on to my job, and we can teach them and show them how. And so there's some things that we're going to unleash in 2014 that is an outreach ministry to the business world, but also internally. You can tell when I'm speaking, and there's just some things in me I want to get into you that's going to help you go to a whole new level. And I want to, not only the skills, but the heart work and what it takes to take, whether it's just a job. When I say just, I don't mean it that way, but I mean if you've got a job and a career that you want to rise up where you are, if you're retired and you're believing God for miracles there, if you own a company, I want to begin to speak and teach in a way so that I want to do some of these. And a lot of you have told me, we don't care about the big banquets and restaurants. Get us in, let's get through some stuff. Let's learn, let's teach on leadership and management. And so I want to do some of those and add those to our banqueting times and double them up for this year. And I think it'll be a real blessing to you and to those who want to join Kingdom Builders. So 2014 is going to be a great year for Kingdom Builders. This book I want to give you as you go. We want to get you something that's current and really good. This is John Maxwell's newest book called 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. And a great book. And so when you leave, don't go now. We're going to go for dessert and coffee, remember? But when you go later, pick that up at the table as well when you go. And get through it. Don't ever try to read books at one sitting. It'll kill you. Just have them laying around and enjoy a chapter here. And if today you're thinking more about relationship, pick that book up on relationship. Tomorrow you're thinking about systems in your business, pick that one up. Sometimes people say, how do you read a lot of books? I probably have about 10 on the go at a time. Throw it down, pick it up, throw it down, pick it up. Whatever I'm in the mood for. But take this one and I pray that you'll enjoy it. And if you're here and you haven't gotten involved yet in our Springs Canada campaign at your church, then those are available to you as well. Announcements coming up. A lot of cool things are happening in our church, and you'll see those on the big screen tomorrow with Family Fun Day, and February is our Love Month, and we're doing some Leon Show interviews in March, a whole week of them, again, if you want to get involved there. But I'm rambling. Let's go party. All right. Bless you guys. Let's go in, and thank you for being with us today. Appreciate it.